Okay, now we begin Maseches Sukkah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. And this Mishnah will set forth some of the basic requirements for a kosher sukkah. The Mishnah starts out by saying, Sukkah shi gavoa l'mala me'esrim amma psula. If you have a sukkah and it is more than 20 amos tall, when we say 20 amos tall, we mean the distance between the ground inside the sukkah and the bottom layer of the schach above the sukkah. If that distance is more than 20 amos, then the sukkah is not kosher. An amma, you will recall, is the distance between a normal person's elbow and middle finger. And it's understood, lahalacha, to be somewhere in the range of between 1.5 and 2 feet, roughly half a meter. So you're talking about 20 amos, which you mean is that basically it's 10 meters high, about 30 feet high, like a three-story building. At that point, it's too tall. Now, why would that be the case? The Amoraim and the Gemara bring three different opinions. Rava, ending in an aleph, says the reason why is because if you have a building that's so tall, so you'll necessarily have to make like a robust structure to support something that's so tall. That's a tip over or blow over and so on. And that means you'll be forced to make some sort of permanent construction. And the requirements for a sukkah is that it should be a diras arai, a temporary home. And if you make the schach so high, you're forced to make like a permanent construction, which is not kadin, not the halacha. The second approach, that of another approach of Rabba with the hay at the end, is that when one goes into sukkah, he has to fulfill the pasuk Laman Yedu Doraseichem Ki Basukos Hashavti Es Bnei Yisrael. The reason for going to the sukkah, as the pasuk says explicitly, is so that we should be mindful of the fact that Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt and put them into Sukkot, and therefore the schach reminds you of that. But if the schach is so high, more than 20 amos tall, above you, you won't even notice it. It's too high to be normally noticed. The general rule is that one's eye doesn't notice things above 20 amos. The same we saw in the beginning of Maseches Erevin, that the korah, as the entrance to the mavui of the alleyway, the crossbeam there, it can't be more than 20 amos, has to be lowered if it's that high because one doesn't notice it. The third approach is the approach of Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says that the point of the schach, and the sukkah is named after the schach, is to create a shaded place. You dwell inside the shade of the schach. But if the schach is so high, so then almost invariably, when you're inside there, you won't be in the shade of the schach. Either you won't be in any shade at all, the sun will come in from the sides, or in the shade of the walls. So those three approaches given. The Bar Tanur just brings Rava's approach. The issue is the issue of Diras Arai. It should be like a temporary dwelling place. And that's the Shulchan Aruch Paskins as well. Rabbi Yehuda's Machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if the schach is 20 amos or more tall, it's still kosher. And the reason is because Rabbi Yehuda actually requires that the sukkah be a place that could last, you know, indefinitely. It has to be a diras keva, a place that you could last, stay there for a long time. And therefore, there's no problem with the sukkah being more than the schach being more than 20 amos tall, above the base of the sukkah. Now, we have three more things now that would make your sukkah not kosher. The first is v'she'enu gavoa asara tefachim. If the height of the schach above the floor of the sukkah is less, that is not 10 tefachim high, so then the sukkah is not kosher. The reason why is because the sukkah is a place where one is, it says you have to live in the sukkah, which means it says sukkos teshvu, you'll live in the sukkah, and the Chazal Darshan, Teshvu ke'ein taduru, you have to dwell in the sukkah like you live in your home. And nobody would live in a home where the ceiling is less than 10 tefachim off the ground. The tefach, you recall, is a hand breadth. You can think of it as roughly 10 centimeters, 4 inches, to be rough. So that means 10 tefachim is basically 1 meter off the ground, a yard off the ground. And that being the case, that it's like a hovel, a lowly hovel, and if it's that low, no one would live in it. It's called a dira srucha, an icky place to live, and therefore it's not kosher. Second of all, v'she'en la shalosh tefanos, if your sukkah doesn't have three walls, it's also not going to be kosher. Now, the scriptural allusion from which one can extrapolate that there are a three-wall requirement is a little technical. It's based on the fact that the pesukim that talk about sukkahs mention the phrase basukos in sukkahs three times. The actual verses, if you want to look inside, it's in Vayikra Chav Gimel, chapter 23, Psukim Mem Beis Mem Gimel, so starting on verse 42. It says, Basukos teshvu shivas yamim. So that's the first instance of basukos. In sukkos you shall dwell for 7 days. That's the first one. Kol ezrach bi Yisrael yeshvu basukos. Every Jewish citizen, I'm going to translate on ezrach right now. Every Jew will dwell inside basukos, inside a sukkah. That's the second mention. Laman yedu dor aseichem, so that your generations shall know. Ki basukos hoshavti et bnei Yisrael. So that your generations will know that I caused the Jews to dwell basukos in sukkos. That's the third time. So the way that, now here's how the mechanics of the drasha works, for what it's worth. The way this, the word sukkos or basukos is spelt is different. It's not consistent in those three instances. The first two times it says basukos and there's no vav in the letter basukos. But in the third time, basukos, there is a vav at the end of the word right before the taf. The suf. So without vowels, it sort of looks like basukas, singular, but basukos would be plural, like multiple sukkot. So the way the drasha works is you have, like, so to speak, sukkot twice, two singles, plus sukkos, which is like plural, so you have two more, for a total of four sukkot to work with, if you will. One of the four you need to tell you the very point that you have to be in a sukkah made of schach, and the schach is the ikr, the essential point of the sukkah, leaving you with three more superfluous sukkot, so to speak, to extrapolate from, and that's the basis for the three walls. Okay, so that's the scriptural source, the allusion anyways, to the requirement for three walls. Now, as I said in the introduction, I want to make sure it's clear here again. The three walls, how they work, seems to confound people. You'll see why it's a little more involved in a moment. So if you haven't learned it before, hopefully it won't be confounding this time, but I just want to lay the groundwork first to understand what's going on over here. If you learn Maseches Erevin, you'll recall that there were these three mechanisms by which one could create a legal partition, a machitza, even though it wasn't solid, it was actually empty space. So those mechanisms, pitikr yor v'sosem, good, aches or asik, and also tzuras ha-pesach, those mechanisms will allow for legal partitions and may have some relevance over here in the area of sukkah, but a sukkah doesn't just need machitza, doesn't just need partitions. It needs actually dafanot. A dofen is a wall. It needs a wall. A home needs a wall. In other words, if you just say like have like a tzuras ha-pesach, like two side posts and a crossbeam, so that has a legal status of a partition. That's how Erevin are often set up. You put those like sticks and poles or whatever, you know, they're around the city, or whatever there is to make your Erev. So that might be a legal partition, but doesn't count as a wall. So you can't just put, you know, four poles, put four sticks on top of them, and say, well, that could create what's called Rosh Hashanah Yachid for Hilchos Shabbos and Erevin. It certainly can't create defunnels to make a sukkah. If you just have four poles, take four crossbeams on top of them, and then put tzchach on that with no walls, you can't say the Tzuras HaPesach that constitutes walls. No, you haven't got a kosher sukkah yet. You need defunnels, actual walls. Okay. Nevertheless, the first two walls, defunot, have to be solid walls. The third one can employ some of those mechanisms, which I'll explain in a moment. But I want to make sure one other point is clear. If you recall from Erevin we discussed, and I think I mentioned in the introduction as well, there's another fourth principle which came to bear a lot in these issues, which is the principle called lavud. Now, lavud is not a rule that applies specifically in the just to machitzas, to partitions. The principle of lavud applies across the board throughout Kol Torah Kula, throughout the Torah, and the principle of lavud basically is that if you have two objects that are within three tefachim, within, say, 11 inches of one another, then the distance, this empty space between those two objects is negligible. It doesn't count. It's as if it's filled in or they're connected. This could apply to something that's close to the ground. It's as if it's attached to the ground, it's sitting on the ground because lavud. It could apply to a gap in your schach. If you have a hole in your schach, but like between the branches, let's say, if the distance between one branch and the next is less than three tefachim, it's as if there's no hole in the schach and it's filled in, so to speak. not considered to be a significant hole. And in partition making, you can also have like bars or beams or straps. And if one strap to the next is within three tefachim, then we look at it as if it's filled in and solid. Okay? Now that can work for your defunos on sukkahs. So, here is the story with the three walls. The first two walls need to be solid, conventional walls. Chazal understand that the size of the sukkah, the minimum size of a sukkah, has to be big enough to contain rosho, verubo, v'shulchano, which means the majority of your person, including your head, and also your table. So that means we're allocating six tefachim for rosho, verubo, most of your body, including your head, and then a seventh tefach to squeeze in a small table. So that's required because you have to be able to eat inside your sukkah without sticking your head out and so on. So that's the minimum size of a sukkah, 7 by 7 tefachim. Again, a tefach is something like around 10 centimeters or 4 inches. So that means you're talking about 70 by 70 centimeters or 28 by 28 inches, basically the size of a shower stall, very small. Okay, so that's the size of your sukkah. Now, two of the walls need to be 7 tefachim across. Okay, and they're set at right angles. No, well, I shouldn't say that. They're each one is 7 tefachim across and a height, a minimum of 10 tefachim. The reason for the 10 tefachim is because, in general, all legal partitions and walls need to be 10 tefachim high. So your sukkah walls need to be, therefore, 7 tefachim across and 10 tefachim high. Now, two of them need to be like that. The third one can employ some wiggle room and some leniencies to make for like a legal partition, even though you haven't got a solid wall. So now the rules of that third wall differ whether you're talking about two possibilities. If your first two solid 7 by 10 walls are touching one another, meaning at right angles, so you have like such an L-shaped on two of the L-shaped on two of the walls. So then the third wall can be made of simply a small one tefach, or midrabanan, slightly more than one tefach wide slat, that's 10 tefachim high. And that slat is placed within 3 tefachim of one of the walls. And the idea being that since the slat's within 3 tefachim of one of the corner walls, so then you've got lavud connecting it, and the total distance from the corner plus those, let's call it 2.9 tefachim, plus let's call it 1 and a bit, let's call it 1.1, if you will, tefachim of slat, gives a total of, let's say, 4 tefachim. The numbers don't have to add up exactly. The essential point here is that in total, you have more than 3.5 tefachim, so you have the majority of a 7 tefach wall. So again, if your setup is you have two walls, 7 by 10 each, that meet in the corner, the third wall, which comes off one of those two other walls, can actually be a legal wall that's set up with the mechanism of lavud, giving you the first almost 3 tefachim, plus another tefach of slat, giving you 4 tefachim total, and 4 out of 7 is the majority, and that's sufficient. Midrabanan, they require that you still have extending that wall out to a total of 7 tefachim using a mechanism of a tsuras pesach. So that means that 7 tefachim away from the edge where you're building this wall, in other words, you have the L-shaped. Okay, so at the one end of the L, you're building the third wall. So you'll space up to 3 tefachim with nothing. Then you'll put down that 1 and a bit tefach wide slat, giving you 4 tefachim. And then you'll put a little tiny pole, doesn't matter how thin, a dowel or something, a total of, let's say, 3 more. So the distance from the dowel to the beginning of the second wall is 7 tefachim. And between the tefach wide slat and the dowel, you have like a crossbeam on top of it to create what's called a tzuras pesach, the shape of a doorway, which is a legal partition. So then between the tzuras pesach plus, let's call that, we'll call that, that's 3 tefachim, plus the 1 tefach width of the slat, plus the 3 more tefachim almost of the lavud, gives a total of 7. So as long as you have like 7 tefachim in that third wall, you could build it with simply a 1 tefach wide slat, plus a little simple tzuras pesach with 2 dowels or something. That's the third wall, if and how lenient it could be, if you're building it where the first two walls are touching in the corner. If you have two walls that are 7 by 10, solid walls, and you're not putting them touching the corner, but rather you're putting them one opposite the other, one parallel the other, then your third wall that's going to be, so to speak, connected to like the bottom of the U, so to speak, that third wall can't be made with a 1 tefach or 1 and a bit tefach wide slat. It has to be made with a 4 tefach wide board. So 4 tefachim wide and then 10 tefachim high. And then between that board and then at least one of the other walls, you'll have a distance of less than 3 tfachim. Then you got lavud, so that means you're going to have with your 4 or 4 and a bit, like 4.1, whatever it is, wide board, plus your like 2.9 or whatever it is gap, that's lavud. The two together will add up to being 7 tfachim, and voila, you have a 7 tefach wide wall, which will mean essentially you kind of have in this U shape, if you will, like on the right and left of the U, you have 7 by 10 tefachim solid walls, and then like the bottom of the U, if you will, you have just a 4 tefach or 4 and a bit tefach wide board that's placed within 3 tefachim of one of the other boards on either the right or the left, giving you 7 on that side as well, and that will be sufficient. Okay, so that's that third wall, not so complicated, and there you go. Okay, so we're listing 3 categories of psul. We had 2 so far. We had if it has to be if less than 10 tefachim or if it has fewer than 3 walls, like I described. The third is v'shechamasa meruba metzilta. If the sukkah has more sun than shade, also psula. What does that mean? So the schach is the essential part of the sukkah. It goes atop the sukkah and it's going to cast a shadow down below. You want that the sukkah should be a shady place, as the word schach implies. That's a cast, like it's be a covered area. Sochach is to cover up, to like effectively casting the shadow. So if the majority of the ground space in the sukkah is shadowed, in shadow, so then even though there's a minority that's got sun on it, when you have any halachic phenomenon, which is comprised of 2 elements, so the legal status of the whole composite is determined by the majority. So in this case, the majority is shade, so that means that the whole thing has a status of being a shaded area, where the majority of the ground bathed in sun, as opposed to shade, then the whole sukkah would have a status of being a sunny, not shady area, and would not be kosher. So that implies, basically, the Mishnah, the words of the Mishnah says, it's only invalid if it's got more sun than shade, which would sort of suggest that if it were exactly 50-50, hypothetically, it would still be kosher. That's true, but as the Gemara speaks out, that would mean that up above, where the schach is, you have still have slightly more coverage than non-coverage, because the sun kind of gets around the edges and casts like a little bit of slightly narrow shadow, if you will. So narrower shadow than the size of the foliage above the schach. So that's that. You have the majority shade. Otherwise, it's puzzle. Okay, fine. New paragraph, if you will. The Mishnah has a new point here. It talks about a sukkah yeshana, an old sukkah. Okay, this part of the Mishnah also often confounds people. So let me explain what's going on over here, and the word. Don't worry about the words at all. There's a very basic machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Whether, when one sets up his sukkah, does he need to do it specifically for the sake of doing a mitzvah? Is it a, I'll call it a sukkah, like a mitzvah hut? Or is it just, I'll call it a gazebo, is it just there to be a nice shady place to chill? So even though it might look identical, if it's done for the sake of a mitzvah and it's a sukkah, so then that's one thing. If it's done for the sake of just cast being a shady place and it's like gazebo, it's a different thing. Beis Shammai holds, if you set up the exact same structure but you didn't not do it l'shem mitzvah, you didn't do it for the sake of a mitzvah, it's not a sukkah, it's just a gazebo and it's not kosher. Whereas Beis Hillel holds, no, any shady place will do if you set it up to make a shady place. Even a gazebo is totally kosher to be a sukkah. So that's a machlokas. If you must set up your hut to be a mitzvah hut or not. Now, the Mishnah's concern talks about a sukkah yeshan, an old sukkah. Here's the thought. The thought is, if you're setting up your hut and it's within 30 days of sukkahs, so then you got sukkahs on your mind. The rule is you're supposed to be studying and preparing for the halachas and studying the halachas and preparing for the holiday 30 days prior to the holiday. So it's within 30 days. You got sukkahs on your mind, and of course, if you're setting up a hut in your backyard, even if you're not explicit about the purpose of the hut, of course, it's for a mitzvah of doing sukkah. And therefore, everyone will agree, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, that it's a kosher sukkah. However, if you're setting up like just a gazebo in your backyard, and sukkahs is not for a long time, let's say, you know, it's the beginning of the summer, so then if you didn't explicitly say, this is going to be my mitzvah hut for sukkahs, so then it wasn't done for the sake of a mitzvah, presumably it was just done for the sake of having a shady place to chill in the summer. And that being the case, Beis Shammai says it's not going to be acceptable, not a kosher sukkah. Okay, Beis Hillel says it's okay. However, understand that even Beis Shammai would agree, and this is the word people get a little confused. If you set up a sukkah and you set it up a long time in advance, you've, for argument's sake, your child just had his bris today, and you think, gosh, when he turns 13 in bar mitzvah, he'll want his own private sukkah. I'm going to build him a sukkah now, so in 13 years, he'll have a sukkah to live in. And you build that hut in your backyard, l'shem, for the sake of doing the mitzvah, in 13 years from now, even Beis Shammah would agree that's a kosher sukkah. Okay? The issue is simply when you're building it and you're not explicit about the purpose of building it. Okay, so that being the case, the Mishnah says, sukkah yeshana, if you have an old sukkah, which means a sukkah that was built more than 30 days before the holiday, and you were not explicit about the purpose for its construction, is it a mitzvah hut or is it just a shady hut? Beis Shammah posan, Beis Shammah say, presumably you built it for the shade, not for the mitzvah. You weren't explicit. It's more than 30 days away, and therefore it's not kosher. It's an invalid as a sukkah because you didn't build it for the sake of a mitzvah. You built it for the sake of the shade. Beis Hill machshir, and Beis Hill say, no, it's kosher because no need to build it specifically for the sake of the mitzvah. If you build it just for the sake of casting shade, that's sufficient. Ve'ezo hi sukkah yeshana, what defines a quote-unquote old sukkah? Kol sha'asa kodem l'chag shloshim yom. Anytime you build this hut in your backyard, I shouldn't say backyard, anytime you build this hut more than 30 days before sukkah, so then unless you explicitly say and think this is for the mitzvah of sukkah also, so then it will be old and not kosher, says Beis Shammah. Aval im asa l'shem chag, however, if you built this hut, and you built it having explicitly the mitzvah of sukkah in mind also, this is my sukkah for sukkahs, which will be in however many months from now, so then afilu metchilas hashana, even if you built it 12 months ago, meaning you built it like, you know, last Tishrei, last year, kshera, even Beis Shammah agree such a sukkah is kosher. Okay, now, the Yerushalmi just adds, by the way, that even according to Beis Hill, who says that the sukkah yeshana, the sukkah you built, you know, just for shade long in advance, is kosher, he, and that's the halach, of course, Beis Hill will say that ideally, lecharchila, it would be better to be what's called lechadash badavar, to add some new elements l'shem for the sake of the mitzvah of sukkah. So to add a bit more schach, specifically for the sake of doing the mitzvah of sukkah, or let's say taking off a piece of schach and putting it back on again, and so on. To renew it, that would be ideal. But after the fact, Beis Hill holds any shady hut that you make is a kosher sukkah, provided, of course, that it meets all other requirements for a kosher sukkah.